Good morning. I'm Griffin Marie, and welcome to another edition of the Washington Weekly Podcast. Each week, we like to touch base with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy to discuss the latest on developments within the Beltway and beyond. Joining me this week, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman. Shane is from the UBS Office of Public Policy based in Washington, D.C. So, Shane, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Griffin. It's great to be with you.
Great to be with you too, Shane. And, last night was the final presidential debate. We're still in the immediate post-debate reaction phase, but what are your initial takeaways from the respective candidates' performances, and what will that mean in the final 11 days of the campaign here?
Yeah, it was definitely a much more subdued debate than that first debate, but there were still some jabs and punches thrown on both sides. I think at the end of the day, Biden may be the winner in the sense that, you know, there was no clear moment where he stumbled and caused himself great pain. You know, he did what he needed to do as the front runner at this moment, which is not have a fatal moment. Obviously President Trump tried to harp on certain topics like, you know, Vice President Biden's family and their relationships with different countries, but also you heard him repeatedly come back to, you're a creature of Washington. You've been in Washington for 47 years, and why didn't you accomplish any of this that you want, that you're talking about now in those 47 years? So try to cast Joe Biden as a career politician who is all talk and no action, you know. So on the other hand, you know, Biden was trying to be more upbeat and aspirational about what he wants to accomplish. And also you heard him talk about the impact of the coronavirus, because he knows that that is a weakness for President Trump and his efforts to be reelected. So it was a very interesting debate. I don't think it's going to, you know, really sway that many voters at the end of the day. I think most voters have in mind who they're going to vote for if they haven't voted already, because actually about probably one third of those that will vote have voted already. I think the debate last night really didn't change the landscape that much.
So, Shane, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said a couple days ago that an agreement on fiscal stimulus support was just about there. Can you fill us in on what this legislative package might entail and its current status?
Yeah, you know, more bipartisan negotiations were held this week, but still no agreement was made. We are pessimistic here that a deal will be reached and have been for the past few weeks. To us, the one thing that is certain is that even if a deal is reached, it probably won't be voted on until after Election Day. And realistically, we don't see an agreement probably until after the election. It's too close to the election. Neither side wants to hand the other side a perceived victory. While negotiations may continue at this point, I don't see any resolution until after the election. And that could actually even be stalled further until 2021, depending on, you know, who wins and if some sides are feeling sore about the election results. You know, I think what its contents are pretty well known. You know, there has to be funding for state and local governments. There has to be legal liability protections for Republicans to support it. There will be probably another round of stimulus checks. There will be funding for the healthcare needs associated with COVID-19. So, you know, a lot of it, you know, we know what's going to be in there, and both sides have basically agreed, that they need to compromise. But, you know, just in the political prism of being so close to an election, it can't probably come to fruition right now.
Right. Shane, last on the legislative agenda before we get back to the campaign trail here, can you provide an update for us as to the standing of Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination?
Yeah, Judge Barrett was approved by the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday on a straight party line vote. All 12 Republicans of the committee supported her. and actually the 10 Democrats of the committee boycotted the vote. So the Senate, the full Senate, is going to debate her nomination starting today. And that will culminate in a final vote as early as Monday, as next week. It could take another day or two, but I think Monday is the day at this moment we're circling. Regardless of, you know, whether President Trump wins re-election, you know, I think one of the most notable accomplishments of this first term will be that he will have placed three new justices on the Supreme Court.
So, Shane, just to shift back to the campaign here, what's the latest from the trail? What are the latest polls telling us? And is President Trump narrowing the gap against Joe Biden?
He is narrowing the gap. President Trump is going to narrow the gap, and we see that already, and I think it'll be closer by the time we get to Election Day. And you see that in some polls, especially in states like Michigan and North Carolina. Florida seems to be tightening up, and Pennsylvania. Now, I mentioned Michigan. I still think that Biden wins Michigan handily, but, you know, we've seen his large lead decrease somewhat. You know, I still think he prevails overwhelmingly there. Pennsylvania, I think that will that is still in the Biden camp. North Carolina seems to be a toss-up, and so does Florida, although at the moment I give Biden a little bit of an edge in Florida. But, you know, what you have to keep in mind is that while Democrats are strongly in the lead in Florida for those who have already voted, Democrats typically are more likely to mail in their ballot or vote early. Republicans prefer to vote in person on Election Day. So that, you know, we need to take with a grain of salt. You know, in the closing moments here of the election, it's going to tighten up. But, you know, as of today, we still give Joe Biden a little edge and advantage to win.
Shane, I mentioned earlier we were just 11 days away from Election Day. You know, as we head into the home stretch here, what are the big stories to pay attention to? Who are the players, and what are the races that we should be looking to in the next 2 weeks here?
Yeah, I think one story I'll think we need to pay attention to is the ad war. You know, Joe Biden has been able to raise an enormous amount of money in the past few months.
Right.
And actually from June 1st until Election Day, the Biden campaign has spent or reserved $178 million more in ad buys than the Trump campaign. So they're blanketing the airwaves. They have a strong advantage in this category, which helps them get their message across. Especially at the last moment when those few undecided voters are trying to make up their mind. I think you saw in the debate last night, you know, Trump talk about Hunter Biden and the Biden family, and Trump is trying to kind of recreate that 2016 momentum that he was able to capitalize off of Hillary Clinton, portraying the Clintons as corrupt. So, you know, if that actually gets traction in the next week and a half here, that can help shift the momentum towards President Trump. You know, I kind of think it may be a little bit too little or too late, but we'll see. Maybe it does catch the attention of voters. You know, the states, the ones I mentioned, but also, you know, we have to keep an eye on other states like, you know, Arizona, Georgia. If Georgia goes towards Biden, you know, it's pretty much impossible for Trump to have a path to victory. But in Texas, a lot of Democrats are excited about Texas. I still think Trump pulls out Texas, but that will cause Trump a lot of problems. You know, the fact that he has to expend time, effort, and energy in Texas versus some other states may you know, hurt him in the effort to pull off that, you know, trifecta of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. But, you know, the fact is he doesn't need to actually win all three of those states again, you know, but he needs to spend a lot of time and effort there. So it's really just a shifting landscape and, you know, last minute strategies of, you know, do we put more effort into states like Arizona, as I mentioned, or maybe Minnesota, the Trump team is excited and think they have a chance to win Minnesota. So a lot of shifting sand, and it'll be very interesting to watch this next week and a half.
Absolutely. Well, Shane, very insightful as always. Thank you for keeping us informed of developments inside the Beltway and beyond, and for your time today.
It's always good to be with you, Griffin. I hope you're well, and everyone have a great weekend.
Thanks, Shane. And again, we've been joined by Shane Learman from the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy. For our listeners, be sure to reference the latest edition of the Washington Weekly, which can be found on UBS online services. For UBS clients, be sure to contact your financial advisors for a copy of the Washington Weekly publication. And from the UBS on-air offsite studios, I'm Griffin Marie, and thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory service in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, different in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that clients understand the ways in which we conduct business, that they carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to them about the products or services we offer. A small number of our financial advisors are not permitted to offer advisory services to you and can only work with you directly as UBS broker-dealer representatives. Your financial advisor will let you know if this is the case, and if you desire advisory services, we will be happy to refer you to another financial advisor who can help you. Our agreements and disclosures will inform you about whether we and our financial advisors are acting in our capacity as an investment advisor or broker-dealer. For more information, please review the PDF document at ubs.com/relationship summary.